Okay. We're back. I'm sorry for the delay, everybody. I was on a cross-country road trip with my dear friend John.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
Welcome back to LA, John.
It's been a year of hell.
I don't want to use this term because I'd say it jokingly, but I rescued him from a succubus.
I fell in love with two women with personality disorders back to back.
Hold the mic a little closer to your mouth.
Oh yeah, okay. And then I worked at a dog crematorium for 8 months and had the most depressing job possible.
So what was the job? You would go pick up dead dogs in Georgia.
So every vet has, like, they kill the dogs and then they put them in the freezer. And if you don't want to, like, bury them in your backyard, say you live in, like, an apartment, like, say you live in a place like this, like, where the fuck are you going to bury your dog?
Right.
So, like, you either, you can't throw it away in the trash because it's biological waste.
Yeah.
So you have to either get it cremated by the county, which will probably cost like $10. And they just cremate it with like deer and possums that are found on the road. So it gets
lumped in with the minorities of the animal community.
I saw them cremating paperwork from like the fucking, so you throw like a St. Bernard in with like a pile of like social security numbers. but you would basically, or you get privately cremated, in which case I would come in a pickup truck and just chuck your fucking dog in the back of the pickup truck. But, you know, it was just disgusting. Like sometimes all the fluids just leave your body or coagulate in one place and like just being covered with like dead rotten dog piss.
I mean, you would pull up to houses and there would be a dog.
Just vet clinics.
Oh, I thought you said you pulled up to a driveway one time and there was a dog rotting in the driveway.
They took me on one house call and then they were like, he can't go on house calls anymore.
Why? Why? What did you fuck the owner?
I fucked the dog. So I pull up to this guy's house with this dude, Chad, who is like this fucking 50-year-old. He was gay and he sexually harassed the fuck out of me constantly. And he'd been working at mortuary since he was 12. He's a very creepy dude.
Not because he's gay.
Not because he's gay, but because I would like pull up in the truck to like the crematorium, and he'd be standing on the loading dock, and he'd like look at me and be like, "You're just at dick sucking height right now." Like, what the fuck, Chad? I told my manager that after he got fired, and she was like, "That was horrible. Like, you should have told us." Like, I don't give a fuck.
One of those gay dudes that like stuck his belly out?
Yeah, no, he was like an older gay guy, and
he put his finger in his belly button, like, "You looking all types of good, boy."
Yeah, he's like, you suck. I smell you from here.
Like you could be my dog.
But this dude, so I go to this, I pull up in the van, we had a van for house calls with like a little stretcher in it. And like, I pull up to this dude's house and it's like, you know, there's like the crying wife and the dude, he's just like standing there and he's like, it's in the basement. And we're like, okay, so we go, it's one of those houses, it's on like a hill. So the basement's not really a basement. It's just like another floor. So I go down there and like, they open the basement for me and there's like a big fucking bulldog. It must have been like a 110-pound bulldog. And the rigor mortis had already gotten to it, but it was obvious it died trying to get into its bed. So it was just like stiff and like getting into its bed. But this thing had a turd sticking out of its ass, like the biggest turd I've ever seen. It was like a huge fucking turd. And it was bleeding. It ripped its asshole in half. And there's just like blood all over the place.
Oh, no.
And the fucking owner was like...
It sodomized itself with its shit.
So the owner was like, "How'd you think it died? How'd it die?" And like Chad was like, "We're not medical professionals. We can't tell you that." But I wanted to be like, it tried shit and the shit ripped its ass in half and then it had a heart attack and died. But I was just like, the best part about it was like, we just kind of like clipped the turd off and like threw it in the body bag and then threw it in the back of the van and like brushed up the blood. But after that, they said I was too, like, I'm not like a dick. Like, I was cold to the people whose dogs died, but I would just like, I just didn't give a shit.
Right.
It's a dead dog. It's not my fucking dog.
You didn't have bedside manner.
Yeah. It's not my dog. Right. Like, I don't give a shit. Like,
it wasn't heavy at all at the beginning to be like, fuck, these are fucking,
it was
poor
dogs.
I love dogs so much.
It was gross for the first 2 weeks. And then I literally turned into like a fucking like guard at Dachau, like fucking throwing bodies in the back of a truck. We weren't supposed to carry them. Like I remember my manager being like, we don't carry them like garbage bags. I was just fucking throwing dogs. Dude, the shit, the shit we did at County.
You guys were taking pictures like Abu Ghraib. Oh, just standing on top of a mountain of them like.
I was fucking down at County. We did whatever the fuck we wanted because it wasn't them anymore. So, yeah. Like, County, we make jokes and, like, throw them against concrete and shit. And,
God.
No, the concrete cremator, like, we'd chuck them as hard as we could. No, it's
fine, yeah. These dogs were Jews.
They're fucking dead. Well, they're fucking dead.
Yeah, they're dead.
You know?
I guess,
they're frozen
yeah.
half the time.
Yeah, you hear that and you're like, we threw them against walls and you're assuming, like, so you killed the dog. Like,
yeah, that's
they
the thing.
Were already dead.
All my friends assumed I killed the dog.
The idea I had of John was he would show up and he would just, like Anton Chigurh, just, like, blow a dog's brains out.
Bring me the dog.
He would bring him like a milk bone and be like, call it. The dog wouldn't bark and he would just blow its brains out and throw it in the back of a truck.
No, there is,
So that was your time.
I met a woman who just stunk.
She was like 40.
She's 42. And she just treated me like dog shit and basically turned me into like a shell of a human being. And then like
John, just to give the listeners that are, you know, ingrained in our little group, John is a massive part of our dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's one of the funniest guys I know.
And the last
2 years,
yeah.
He had these, you know, he was just trying to fix shit with girls in his life. And
I just want love. Dude.
And he was just trying to find a new home in a different geographic location. And that never works.
It never, yeah. No.
LA is the, after traveling the country, LA is the only place that matters, honestly. LA and New York.
Everywhere else has like no infrastructure.
There's nothing going on. I mean, this country's dead. Like, seriously, we were traveling. I mean, we traveled through like so many fucking towns where it was like, okay, maybe 7 months ago, there was like people here. It's completely abandoned.
Now it's just a Chick-fil-A and a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
And a fucking gas station.
And the guys running it are like meth heads. It's like you got like Badger and Skinny Pete like running the entire town. It was crazy. This country's fucked.
We went to a Denny's that was like a fucking halfway house.
We went to a Denny's where like there were Border Patrol guys there. Like they're probably shooting up like in their booth. Like the whole place was horrific.
The guy was like having withdrawals that was serving us. He was like, I don't got no salmon. I don't got no chicken. So don't fucking ask it. It was crazy. He got really aggressive.
Oh, I mean, it's even in major cities, it's fucking $15 for a chicken wing now. There's a food shortage. I mean, everything's finished. I heard Eminem is like working at like a Sbarro now. I don't really know what's happening, but the country's kind of finished and we saw it firsthand, but we had a lot of fucking fun. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of fun. So we leave.
You start in Atlanta. How long were you in Atlanta?
How
long were you there for?
I get to Atlanta. I'm there for a night. I get in. It's like 7 p.m. maybe 8 p.m. John takes me to JR Crickets. Which is a great wing place. It's the wing place in Atlanta, the show.
Yeah. They invented lemon pepper wet.
It's a great place. I made a joke about the name, and then John was like, are you saying that because it sounds like moon cricket? And then the two white
guys got really uncomfortable.
All the white guys we were with got really uncomfortable.
When you go to the South,
they're terrified of being
really
called racist.
Yeah.
But like, met a couple people. We went to like this nightclub kind of place and we got really hammered.
It was awesome.
It was great. And John,
the DJs,
John showed me all the black people that he's ingratiated himself with.
That and, like, rocked.
It was fucking kick ass.
That's where Atlanta.
We were telling the DJ to be like, play Whoop That Trick. We were like, we just wanted to play Hustle and Flow songs because that's our only like info about the South.
Well, that dude, Will, so not the dude with dreads, but the other DJ, the skinnier guy, he came up to me. One time I was he was DJing at the bar I was at for an industry night, and he came up to me and was like, yo, dude, I gotta tell you something. And I was like, what? And he's like, you look exactly like James Harden.
What? So James Harden is fat to the America.
And
I guess.
What? No, but
that doesn't make any sense. James Harden.
Like, yo, you look just like James
what?
Harden.
You kind of want to be like, yo, you.
It was a great compliment.
You should never talk again.
Yeah, what?
Don't speak to people.
You tell a black guy. You should look at the black guy. Go. You look.
No, he told me I look.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah,
and
I know.
That doesn't make any sense. You should have looked at him and been like, you look just like Dennis.
Like Tom Cruise.
You look like Dennis Kucinich. Crazy. So we start in Atlanta. We get really hammered at this nightclub. And Atlanta's just like...
Atlanta rocks.
It was a Monday night, but it was like popping. It's just... I don't know. The whole city has this vibe of like... It might as well be the embodiment of a guy getting head on the dance floor, just like in public. Like, yeah. it just had a really public sex vibe to me. And I heard... I think it's the capital of AIDS. Yeah, so kind of makes sense.
A lot of guys on the down low in Atlanta.
But it was a really cool, really cool city. But we didn't stay there long. And the next day we wake up viciously hungover and we just start packing up John's car. He didn't pack anything. It was amazing. He just wakes me up. He hands me like a Mountain Dew. He's like, this will do the trick.
I got him a Mountain Dew Rise. I was like, I know he's going to... 180 milligrams is the best energy drink out there.
So we pack up his car. Basically, all he has is like two boxes of like clothes and books and a giant painting from like his grandfather.
I've been lugging this painting from my grandfather around for like fucking 10 years.
We leave. We're hungover. We get out of Georgia, which leads into Alabama, which, boy,
oh, man.
Boy, oh, boy. I don't even know how those people know how to spell the name of the state.
We thought it was a good idea to go to Cracker Barrel because we both had, like, nostalgia for Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, we were like, let's go to Cracker Barrel. Like, I haven't been since I was a little kid.
Devin has this idea that, like, everywhere we stopped, there would be, like, some sort of Anthony Bourdain secret restaurant.
Yeah, I want to do the parts unknown shit. I want to stop at a place called, like, you know, fucking, like, you know, T-Bones Rib Shack or something.
Yeah, they're going to be as worse as Cracker Barrel.
And so we went to Cracker Barrel, but boy, was it depressing. It was horrific. Everyone there is just so sad and fat, and they're fucking, you know, eating fried.
There's like anti-abortion pamphlets left on
there's
the
anti-abortion
urinals,
pamphlets
like.
Everywhere. People are just snacking on fried insulin or whatever they do down in the South.
Fucking sucked dick.
It was terrible. I don't even know if this will translate into the podcast, but we were dying of laughter at this bit we created where, because I got a country fried steak, and maybe we were just hungover and silly. I got a country fried steak, and we kept laughing about this image of this, like, Southern chef walking out, this old guy being like, you want more gravy? And I'm like, sure. And then he just lifts his apron up, and his cock is hard. He just comes onto my chicken fried steak.
No. He goes, tug it.
And then he goes, yeah, he tells me to, he goes, tug it.
Tug it.
He goes, tug it good. And then he gets really, I go like, what? And he gets really angry. He goes like, tug my pecker.
Well, in our fantasy, we would stop at a roadside restaurant literally called Tug My Pecker.
Tug it. So the name of the place should have been Tug My Pecker. And then he gets really violent.
No. When you're done. He pulls out like a 38.
He pulls out a 38. And he goes, time to die. And he blows your brains out. So he's just the psychopathic Southern Cracker Barrel chef.
So throughout the trip, we just kept looking at each other and going, tug my pecker.
Tug it good.
But that was our bit from Alabama.
So then Alabama, we basically just went from Alabama to New Orleans.
Yeah, and so, New Orleans fucking slaps.
New Orleans is the greatest city.
We showed up in the middle of the night and like... New Orleans is like kind of like Pasadena, where you could be like, you think like
it's just like Pasadena. No. It's the same character, same infrastructure.
Press stop on the pod. We're done.
Just like Pasadena.
If you go up towards Pasadena, it'll be like nice for two blocks, and then it's like the hood for two blocks, and it'll be like yeah. So like it was like so we.
But it's never even actually nice. That's what's so great about New Orleans.
The fucking environment just ruins everything. They don't. Everything's musty.
Well, they're also New Orleans is perpetually in a state of recovery. They're constantly recovering from a disaster, whether it be COVID, Hurricane fucking Ida.
It's like if a city got addicted to Oxycontin.
Yeah, and it's the best fucking city on planet Earth.
The city itself is just constantly like in withdrawal, and then it finally got high again, and now it's in withdrawal again.
Exactly.
But New Orleans has been shuttered, man, by COVID and the hurricane.
You guys got there right after
after the hurricane.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And a pandemic, and that's the only place we've been to where you had to present a vaccination.
Yeah, dude, almost every place we went to had to show our vaccination.
It was straight
and
up.
I only have the front of my card on my phone. John doesn't have it at all, so we would be like, we felt like we were having to give our papers to
like
the Nazis.
Nazi Germany,
like,
or some
we're
shit.
Just trying to get like fucked up at some place called like Bordelaise or whatever. Papa Le Deux, Gator Hut, and where they're like, you better show your vaccination card. We're like, what the fuck? Why do you hillbillies care? What is going on?
Yeah.
So John would just go on Google and like look up a vaccine card,
and then I'd zoom in.
And we'd just be like, "There it is!" And
we almost got caught.
But then,
because
a couple times they were like, "Show your ID," and we were like, "Fuck!"
It was one time they asked to show us our ID, but we happened to be there the night before, and the dude that was like the busser just like knows is like, "Yeah, they're cool. They're here the night before." And we got in, and it was a straight up like fucking Great Escape moment. Like,
yeah.
It was like,
no,
we
seriously, because we went to the same place. We had a great time the night before, yeah. But there was a new lady at the door, and she was like, I need your vaccine cards, I need your ID.
She was a real bitch.
And John was like stalling, and I was like, fuck, because we had just been using, he had been using mine. Right, and people just don't look. They just go, like, oh, they don't even know it's the same name.
Right.
But we were like freaking out, and then luckily a guy that knew us was like, they're good to go, bring them in, and blah, blah, blah.
Because we were so loud.
Because we made a scene the night before.
Well, I fell in love with the jazz
John
singer.
Fell in love with like 15 women this whole
all
trip.
All over the age of 40.
That's I'm proud of you. That's what you're supposed
it's
to do.
It's what you're supposed to do.
I'm so horny presenting, but when push comes to shove, I'm a coward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's start with the beginning of the night. So basically we get into our hotel, which is essentially like... It's New Orleans, so like nothing runs right. They're not there. We call the people all day to tell them like, hey, we have a car full of stuff.
Oh yeah, they were being
like, is there a parking lot?
The fucking voicemail was like, hello, welcome to
the voicemail
New Orleans.
Was. It sounded like a guy that loved to get tugged by the Tug My Pecker guy. He was like, hello, welcome to New Orleans. I'm busy, you know, in the back doing the devil's work. So we finally get into our place, which we, by the way, paid like the most amount of money. The most amount of money we paid for any place.
For
it's New Orleans because it was close to the quarter.
Oh, okay.
But like even 10-minute walk to the quarter.
Even being close to the quarter.
New Orleans.
But it was in the Marigny, and it's like the Marigny, like you, it would feel
Devin
like...
Devin knows all these neighborhoods. I'm like, what the fuck? You've been there once when you were 12.
And I love like, New Orleans, man. It would be like, the Marigny might as well be like a bad area in L.A., but it's close to the quarter. So I don't know. New Orleans is just weird. You just walk through these really rundown areas, but it's like amazing.
And it fucking rocks. There's
it kicks ass. So we get into the hotel. No one's there, of course. And we're like, we never got, they said they were supposed to send an email with info to like how to get into the door. We didn't get anything. So then this fucking like,
a Michigan
we dud. See this like guy from Michigan, apparently. He like sees us and he's like, what are you guys here for? And we're like, we're staying here, but we don't know how to get in. And like, we have all
he's
this
like,
stuff.
I saw your name on the envelope
and he's like,
in the desk.
Oh, I saw your name on the, yeah, in the envelope
like, okay,
in the desk.
Creep.
And he's like, and we were like, what's the code to the door? Like, how do we get in? He was like, it's 7 there.
He whispered.
He like whispered. He like got closer. And he was like 7-0-3-5. We were like, bro, there's nobody.
You know,
what are
you
doing?
You know Michigan. These people are fucking like idiots.
People from Michigan like have like the guy had the personality of like bark. It was
he had the audacity.
Sucked ass. And then he had the audacity to want to ruin our night and be like, I'm gonna go get a po' boy. I'll be in the back if you guys want to hang. And we were like, yeah, no, listen. Believe it or not, Darren, I'm not in New Orleans to hang out with you.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna be doing that.
First of all, he like tried to like commiserate with us. I was like, hey, listen, like I got to move all my shit, and I was just trying to get him to open. I was like, I gotta move all my shit in the hotel. I'm moving cross country. He's like, I'm moving cross country too. He's a traveling nurse. He was just trying to commiserate with us.
Yeah,
and trying to like, he was lonely.
He was a lonely guy, and he probably would have railed us both. guy wanted to just have some fucking New Orleans nightlife inside the hotel.
So we load our shit.
Of course, the hotel like sucks, but it's $150 a night. But it's great. It's New Orleans. It's like a cool old place, but it just smells like mildew, and you know, there's a leak in the bathroom. The bathroom's just like flooded. We're just like, whatever. Yeah. So we just grab our shit and I just start taking John down to what I remember. So we walk into the quarter and we go to Bourbon Street for a second. We just get our first drinks to walk around Bourbon Street.
I was more pro Bourbon Street than Devin.
John was pro Bourbon Street.
I wanted to have I would have liked like a good 3 hours on Bourbon Street, but honestly,
Bourbon
I
Street
was kinda
sucks.
You know, but.
But you had, here's the thing, you had the benefit of going there. Even at 12, knowing that it's a
John's
like, let me decide.
I went at 12.
No, I get it. I get
he
it.
Went at 14.
Let John decide. It
I
sucks.
Went at 14
it
and
was,
15.
I was kind of okay with it though because of COVID.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but it is
a tourist trap.
No, here's the thing though. You go on Bourbon Street and it's like you're in like the.
I've been there too. It's a tourist.
It's like you're in the real world.
But I'm horny.
It's just drunk people and
trying to fuck.
I want to get milked.
Yeah,
and you're trying to fucking.
John's
block
always
me.
Everywhere we go. John's trying to get milked. We were at a nightclub where they had a hole in the table for like where they put the ice, where they put the thing with ice that carries all the like the crevassier. And John kept like sitting over it and being like, "Milk me," like putting his dick over the hole.
There's a milking table, and the. So we go to.
So we wander from Bourbon Street with our drinks, and we wind up at this vampire bar, and so we go into this vampire bar to get like more hammered, and we sit next to this like True Blood character, this woman kind of attractive, but in like a red dress, massive alcoholic. Says she does, like, she like reads tarot cards and also works at like a crystal shop. And John and I are just kind of fucking with her. John's like kind of trying to fuck her.
Talking but then, about like, how I shit my pants all the time.
Yeah, but like 15 minutes in, we
she loves that. She still would have
done it. She still would have done it. She still would have done it. But yeah, Joe, we're just openly like making like shitting our pants jokes and like, but we're like, because we're kind of laughing at the fact that G's still into us, you know, like. Yeah. We you know, we might as well have been
Devin
saying.
Devin took a picture of us and she touched me without permission and it made me really mad, dude.
You should have accused her of been rape like, or assault, you know, honestly.
Don't look at me in the eyes.
Did she have the Creole accent?
No, she had this red dress on. No, but no, like, you know when you see a girl and she's got no enamel on your teeth and you're like, oh, you're
she throws up all the time.
Oh, you're fucking crazy.
She's bulimic.
She was drinking like a fucking Moscow Mule and eating fucking creme brulee.
Her dinner was creme brulee. We go, what do you eat? She goes, I hate vegetables. And I hate.
I have ulcers. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, it's because you're bulimic. But in my head, I'm like, what caused your ulcers? She's like, the doctor said the alcohol actually saved me from my ulcers. I was like, no, he fucking
yo, who's your doctor? No, fucking Dr. Jack Daniels.
She was like, I couldn't keep any food down except alcohol, and the carbs and the calories saved me. I was like, have a smoothie.
No, she was. This is how fucked up she was. She was attractive and like pretty attractive.
Right.
And she was so off-putting that we just left. We were like, all right, this is enough. We can't keep hanging out with this mess. So we left there. We got even more hammered somewhere else. We go to, we get like oyster.
Devin gets oysters.
I get oysters and like etouffee. John thinks everything's for sharing. And I go, I'll share the oyster. I come back from the bathroom. John's just like eating my meal.
It's fucking etouffee. So Devin's like, I thought Devin was just ordering like a bunch of everybody. And he was like, he got regular oysters, fried oysters. By the way, I'm broke as fuck right now. And Devin was just like, oh, bye, I'll get it. And like, I was like, oh, so everything's for me. And so Devin goes to the bathroom. The waitress shows up with his etouffee. And I just start digging in, not realizing
he just starts eating. We're drunk. It was fine. So after that, the night really begins. Because I don't know if people know this about New Orleans, but New Orleans, the French Quarter, is surrounded by, there's black dudes that are New Orleans locals that know that, like, dipshits wander in, tourists, and they make them.
We're a little too smart for them, though.
But we knew what we were doing. We everything we did was willingly.
Well,
everything, all the charity we gave to the homeless was charity.
We gave to them in spades back.
But just to explain New Orleans for the listeners, like, for anyone that doesn't know, it's like they prey on. Mm-hmm. Maybe charismatic or just like dorky tourists.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think I told this story in an old podcast. When I went as a kid with my mom and dad, we went to the Quarter and there was a black dude and his like girlfriend, and the girl would just like bang on a like paint can. And this guy would pretend he was like a soul singer and he only knew one lyric to an Otis Redding song. He would just go, "In the night." And that's all he would say the whole time. He'd just go, "In the night, in the night." And people were giving him money. Everyone's like, "This is a classic New Orleans experience, honey. This guy must be Sam Cooke." Like, this is. So it's like they just prey on people like that. So all that same shit was there. So we wander around. We wind up meeting this
Chicago.
Chicago. David. Chicago.
Devin found out his real name.
This black homeless guy named Chicago. I found out his name was David.
Yeah, Devin, later in the night, Devin was like wasted, and I was like, "Hey, Chicago." And Devin was like, "His name's David."
So he.
Fuck up.
Well, because I respect people. I'm not a racist like you. So we hang out with this guy. Like, we're taking this homeless guy into like bars. We're buying drinks, this and that. We're having a great time. He's like nuts.
Him with you?
Yeah, dude. Oh, we just started wandering the town with him.
He was like a Dave Chappelle character.
He literally was a Dave Chappelle character. He kept calling us the N-word with like a hard ER. He goes, "You too white." Like, we were just like, "All right,
you Chicago
ass." He'd be like, "You Pollock ass, Mick ass." But with a hard R, like sounding like Dave Chappelle.
I really enjoyed it.
But it was really funny, and we were drunk enough to be like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went along with him the whole night. I'm pretty sure we ran out on a couple tabs that he ordered and we didn't know about.
Yeah, he just ordered us drinks and we'd leave bars.
He was just ordering food and drinks and we didn't know. And we would just leave and then I don't know what happened. But so we hung out with Chicago the whole night. So then we start making our wander home, right?
No, I spanked the man in a fucking bar.
Tell the story. John, John cucked like a dude at the bar.
So once I have like fucking... Once I'm drunk, I have like zero impulse control, and I was just walking to the bathroom, and you know how they have those in the South, they have those like gambling machines and bars?
Yeah.
there's
slots.
This, yeah, there's this dude, and he's a black dude. And I just walked by him and just fucking spanked him in the ass. And like,
he spanked him.
Spanked
him. He goes, like, oh, that's risky.
John walked by this random black dude playing like pool or something. And he just goes like, yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Spanks him.
And like, he had a buddy there too.
Yeah.
And he turns around. He's like, yo, what the fuck? And I was like, sorry, dude. And like, and he's like, yo, we don't do that shit where I'm from. And I'm like, I got to pee. Like, but it was completely unchallenged. I could have gotten fucking knocked the fuck out.
Right, right.
But we leave the bar, and then we kind of ditch Chicago.
We ditch Chicago. Chicago just
good
was...
Call.
He
good
was
call.
Chicago was being a bit much. He was telling me about his whole life and all the his yeah. kids and
oh,
shit.
Oh, boy.
And,
yeah.
Every, you know, it's like,
we
I don't even know what
jazz.
To say. But
we
like,
a bit of jazz.
So we wind up at a jazz club, right?
And we're the loudest.
We're
people
the only.
The
we're like. It's like there's like seven or. It's like an open mic for jazz, but like some of the most talented people. You've, right. You're not. You're
this
not,
woman was singing.
You're not looking at comics up there.
Yeah. Right.
They know how to do a thing.
Right.
They're playing instruments. The woman is singing her heart out. She's pretty yeah. attractive. John falls in
I fall
love.
In love with this woman.
We're just ordering doubles. We're going like wild.
Devin was like, "Give me a drink," and I get him like a double whiskey and then like a Miller Lite, and I just be like, "Here," and he's like, "I didn't want this."
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm like dying right now.
Yeah, rock.
But we just kept drinking through. So yeah. we end up sitting like at the very front, like on this couch, like right next to the stage. And we're like, and it turned into the type of thing where almost everyone left. And we were like the only, like,
I'm just screaming.
We were two of four people left.
I'm fucking
and John,
I'm like,
after
woo!
They finish songs, we're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Like, yeah. Amazing. We like talk to them in a during a smoke break. We're yeah. we're acting like we're literally witnessing, you know, like Louis Armstrong's
band. It was really
band.
Good, and I gave,
it was really good. But John was trying to fuck this lady hard. John has no money. He gives her like $10.
Okay, it was like 2 hours of top notch entertainment. They deserve $10.
Yeah, I didn't give him anything. Yeah, because I've done open mics before. No one ever, gave me fucking
Devin,
$10.
Devin, seeing Devin tip service staff is the most insane fucking
thing. I tip very well. I tip better than you. I was paying for you the whole fucking trip, you fucking you fucking poor person.
Okay.
Okay, until you get a job at some bar called T.H. Diddley's in Pasadena, you don't talk. I paid for everything.
T.H. Diddley's in Pasadena,
I worked
California.
In the service industry. I'm over tipping. Honestly.
No, it's not.
I tip 20% every time.
I'm down to 15.
I tip 20% every time.
He's
I'm down
lying,
to 15.
That's not, I'm not lying. I tip. No, because we found out they were lying to us half the.
Oh,
half
that's
the,
right. No,
half
no, no.
The,
no,
half,
no.
You're wrong.
No, they would do this thing
tell
where it'd be
this,
like,
tell
it'd be
it,
like on the receipt, it'd be like eight. It'd be like a bill that was like $20. And then on the receipt, it'd be like 15%, $7.
And you're like, that's wrong.
That's not
$7. You're lying to me. Like, that's a lie. So I would be like, wait, what, John? So, you know, that's where the joke's coming from. But I treated everybody there well.
We walk,
especially black people.
Okay, so we walk back to the fucking hotel after we're just trashed and we're walking. By the way, Devin does this thing where he pretends like he knows where we are, and he doesn't.
No, it's my favorite thing to confidently walk in front of people.
It's
like,
your favorite thing.
I'd be like, dude, we're in the Marigny right now. We just gotta go east.
Like this was planned and that it's his favorite thing. No, he just does this because he's
we're
a
like
retard.
We're gonna wind up at the Metairie. The Metairie, I'm pretty sure, is famous for this and that.
Yeah, so we
by the time you know it, we're on like a ferry. We're like headed to like Cuba.
I'd follow him. So like we would go like 20 minutes out of our way to get back anytime, and like Devin's like look like fucking his head's on a fucking swivel. And we get back and then I'm fucking starving. And we get to this gas station. Before we get to the gas station, this like dude in a polo shirt comes up to me.
We start talking to this
giant black dude. I buy this guy like $30
dude.
Worth of fried chicken.
He
I'm
bought,
broke.
We were like the Pied Piper.
I'm broke and I just buy this guy
dude,
$30
the whole
of fried
trip,
chicken.
We were the Pied Piper of like
Jamaican
people on welfare. Like,
I steal wrap snacks. I steal wrap
John
snacks.
John was stealing the whole trip?
I'm stealing the whole trip.
John stole a bunch. John
I'm
bought
like
this guy.
Crime.
He bought this
good
guy
you,
$30 yeah, worth
cool.
of chicken. I'm just standing out
I
front.
Him, I bought him. No, I bought him $30 worth of chicken, a fucking peach tea, and a fucking black and mild.
And then
I get him a black and mild. Because
you bought the first two things, and then
he
at the
audacity.
End, at the end, he goes, "Can I get some black and milds?"
No, he goes, "Can I get this black and mild?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you can get a fucking black and mild." So I got my Jamaican beef patties. He's got his chicken. We go back to the fucking
this gas station. Is like has great food.
It does.
It's one of those like in Baltimore, like the Royal Farms. It was like that style.
Exactly. Yeah. So we go back to the hotel, and I'm like, me and Devin always end the night. We're in our underpants, and I'm just like eating trash on my fucking bed. Yeah,
you're
and, like,
milking each other.
We're sucking each other.
So we get back to the
milk.
We get back to the hotel. Finally, we're milking each other. We're saying voodoo chants. As we come, we're like,
I have a boa constrictor around my neck and a top hat on.
I'm calling John Brick Bordeaux.
I'm like, ooh, this is the best milk in this side of the Mississippi.
But we, so we had a great fucking night. Great night. We wake up the next day. We kind of do it again.
By the way, I'm just going to pause real quick. This is like day two or three of this like 6 day road trip.
Yes.
And every day is as good as the day
previously. Truly.
This was the best road trip. This is the best. This is the best time I've had since the 2 weeks we were fucking quarantined here with Joey. It was a phenomenal time.
It was one of the best. Yeah. It was personally, it was one of the best times of my life. Yeah, I had so much fucking fun.
You're hearing about two men bonding right now.
Yeah,
all right, so strap in.
We're bonding. Yeah.
This is beautiful.
And I hadn't seen John in like fucking a year and a half. He's like, I used to live with John. Yeah. He's one of my oldest friends.
Me and Devin went through the hardest times of our lives together.
Yeah, I've missed John so much this entire time.
I missed Richie. I missed everybody here. Insane. It was like I needed my boys. And the fucked up thing. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
So the next day, is there anything really notable about the next day in New Orleans? We just had a good time.
No, there's tons of notable. Let me tell
you. You were hungover?
So this was the real like tour.
Well, we started back up. I took him to the Mont Leon, which is the nicest hotel in the city, and I'm just ordering him martinis and shit. We're drinking.
What time were you?
He ordered me one drink, and then
I ordered you drinks the whole fucking night.
No, at the Mont Leon.
The Mont Leon. Well, it was a lot.
Also,
they were like $20 martinis.
I bought a lot of stuff. I held my end of the fucking bargain, shit bag. Anyway, so. Yeah, shut up. Anyway, so
John's finances are very solid.
My finances are so
suspect. You never know what he's going.
He's like, I'm broke. I bought $30 worth of chicken.
I have $1,100.
You're all over the place.
I don't really know what he is. He's like Donald Trump.
I had to pay $714. Today, I had to pay $714 to get my fucking car registered at the DMV. I look at the woman. I go, can I just pay via time served or fucking flogging or something?
Jesus.
I can't. Anyways, so I have $1,100 in my bank account right now.
You're doing great.
That's good. It's fine.
That's not fine.
You told multiple people on the trip how much you had in your bank account, and they'd be like, you have that much?
Yeah.
But anyway, so we wake up the next day. We walk like 30 fucking miles to the Garden District. On the way, we go to this really kick-ass diner. That's when we have to do our first vaccination.
We go to Mother's. I don't know if people know New Orleans. We go to Mother's.
They have a picture of Chris Christie on
the
wall.
They're a little fucked up now. The pandemic fucked them up. Not many people were there.
It was delicious. You got some
No, it was great. It was great. It was great. Yeah. So then we walk to the Garden District. Garden District's beautiful.
It's
like
wonderful.
The most incredible old homes you've ever seen in your life. Just amazing. Yeah. So we wander around there. It's hot. We go to a fucking Walgreens. We try and get some like hangover cures.
That shit rocks.
We go to some hipster cafe. We're all these
from Mother's to a hipster cafe.
All these we wanted coffee, so all these two.
Oh, remember the fucking retard named Skip?
No.
At the hipster cafe, there was those dudes that are 50 years old and they dress like
they're still
hipsters.
Plaid and
what
mustache.
The fuck are you doing? Just fucking join AARP or some shit.
Yeah,
this guy
was 50 years old. He was dressed like the Count of Monte Cristo.
And then we're walking towards the back, and I hear the lady go, a spinach croissant for Skip. And then he runs back up there,
Mike.
Oh, sorry. Anyways, I'm having like three beers. Anyways, but we have a really good coffee, and we walk around, and we see the most beautiful dog on earth. Do you remember that dog?
Yes, the dog out in front of the church.
Beautiful dog in front of the church.
New Orleans is so weird. You can't tell if something's abandoned or if like somebody's in the place. Right. But
people live in an abandoned church or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then we just kind of perused all day. We go into the Cafe du Mont.
We go to Cafe du Mont. Yeah. We get our beignets. Yeah, they're a little. They're kind of over. They don't really care anymore.
I talked to my mom about that today. I was like, "Cafe du Mont really went downhill," and she's like, "It was shitty in the fucking early 2000s too." I was like, "Yeah, okay."
It's just for the charm of the place.
Yeah.
So that was cool. We were like so hungover though, so we go back to our motel. We like John takes like a nap, like we like fucking shower
like
or whatever.
45 minute nap because Devin takes 45 minute shits and.
I just I really love
Devin's
shit.
Like, I need to take a dump, and I'm like, I might as well fucking knock out right now. But
I feel like of all the time I've known Devin, there's a big mystery of what he's doing in there, and he gives hints.
You know how much time you waste on the toilet?
I go on Reddit. I study things. I study the world.
No matter what, Devin's...
When you die and you go to the pearly gates, and the guy's like, you wasted 17,000 hours taking a shit.
No matter what...
What would I be doing? Watching you fucking snore? What am I supposed to do? I'd rather be in there shoving my hemorrhoid back up my ass.
You have a hemorrhoid?
I think.
No matter what Devin tells me he does in there, there's something he's hiding. I'll never believe
No, I literally...
I'll never believe you. You can tell me everything you do,
I try and think of tweets. I try and think of ideas.
Yeah,
I go on Reddit. I go on WorldStar. I watch a bunch of people get beat up. I watch Road Rage videos.
He's watching child
porn. I do a lot.
It's child porn.
I watch Cuties when I'm in the bathroom on Netflix.
So then we go back out and we're like, okay, we're just fucking... our bodies were like rejecting us at this point.
Yeah, we were just like dying.
So we go out and we get my back just kept
failing, and I'd be like, ah.
Yeah, my knee is still fucked up from like drunk texting and just like walking into stoops.
But we still tried to keep it up. So we go to the Monteleone. We get some martinis at the Monteleone.
I'm not a big martini guy.
I love them.
Yeah.
I think they're a classy drink. You'll get
them. I feel like you're
both of you are a little bit.
I feel like John coming back
to
LA, drinking is your renaissance.
You know what? I was in a relationship with an alcoholic for like 4 years, and I was like, I can't drink anymore. And then I got in a relationship with a non-alcoholic, another personality disorder person, and I started drinking. I think it's okay again. Yeah.
So after the Monteleone, we go back to the jazz club because John wants to try and lock it down.
Mm. She's gone. She was in New York.
She's gone.
I knew she wasn't going to be there.
She left.
She left me.
So we hang out there. We just kind of people watch.
Like a big fat guy playing the trumpet.
We watched like weirdos on dates.
Oh God, you know? Yeah, that was weird. Everyone
we watched like
was
a really hot woman on a date with like this. This guy was like a total nerd spaz, but he was like 6'4". So
you ever
I guess
see
she was giving
that,
him a
like,
chance.
If you were to thin the herd, that would be the guy. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what the fuck are you doing with that lady?
Yeah,
and they were both the fucking body language of the date. They were just so guarded.
Yeah,
they
like
fucking crossing. I was
she
like,
has her arms crossed.
Up, man.
He's sitting like in a stance where he's like pretend confident, but you could tell it was gonna go nowhere. It was like fascinating to watch. But then we just kind of started
2 hours to drink one beer.
Yeah, we were just shut. We were shutting down. So we go get a po' boy at like a mini mart or something.
That po' boy, it wasn't a po' boy. It's like a fried shrimp sandwich.
It was a po' boy.
That's a po' boy.
I thought po' boys have stale bread.
No, not necessarily.
Not all the time.
Okay, I thought that
the
was
only
part of the, okay,
problem
so
with that po' boy was that there were sesame seeds on the French roll, which is like not that's bullshit.
It was an Italian deli though,
but
so
was,
I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
It was still fine for being a
but
fucking
then
place.
We run into the fucking guy who bought $30
then,
of fried chicken.
Then
for
we run into the
and
chicken
it's,
man.
Now it's time to pay up. Okay. Right, so he literally is like, "I'm gonna take you guys somewhere nice," and he just takes us back to the jazz club we were at the previous night.
No, he goes, but, he did the thing that homeless people do, where he's like, "Oh, let me take you there," and we're like, "We know how to get there," but we're like, "Okay, you can walk with us." We walk with him for like a mile, and then we get there. He's like, "So this is it?" And we're like, "All right, cool,
and then
thanks."
He
and he's like, "Can I get
money.
Some money?"
And I was like, "Motherfucker, I bought you $30 worth of fried."
And then
chicken
he immediately just turns around
split.
Like we're not friends at all.
I was like, "Not gonna happen." But on the way
and
there,
I was hurt.
On the way there,
that.
The true payback was I got to make him uncomfortable by telling him the tug it joke.
Yes, John, we're walking with this cool black man
like,
from New Orleans,
like,
and John,
what would you do if you're at a diner and you're having a chicken fried steak? And then some guy comes up and he's like, "Do you want more gravy?" And he lifts his apron up and he's like, "Man, I don't know, dude."
Yeah, he was like, "Y'all some crazy white boys." Like, we were just like, we were looking at this guy like, "Tug it! Tug my pecker!"
And he kept making jokes.
Jamal! So that was basically.
I don't want to change the dynamic of the bit, but I keep picturing like the guy being like, tug it, and then you do it, and he comes, and he's like, "Ah, all right, here's your gravy." Yeah. And then he just pours totally normal gravy.
No, our joke
he's
is
had it the whole time.
Our joke is he executes.
Our joke is he executes you. He goes, time to die, and he holds a gun to your head and he blows your brains out.
You're sexually assaulted, then he executes you because that's
all
funny.
At a Cracker Barrel
but
in
we
Alabama.
We're sitting at the Cracker Barrel, going, if a guy came up to me and exposed himself to me right now, it'd be horrible. But if he exposed me and before exposing himself. To me, if he went, "Do you want more gravy?" If he said that, it'd be the funniest thing on planet Earth.
So that was basically New Orleans. Oh, then the next morning we have one last time. We go to the Camellia Grill, which is an amazing diner. It's the greatest diner I've ever been to. It's a classic diner in New Orleans. And we meet this like fucking like old New Orleans defense attorney sitting at the counter.
You know those guys who are like old, but you could tell they used to lift. Okay. He looked like Joey in like 40 years.
Okay, yeah. He looked like Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, and he had like a cool like Jimmy Hoffa haircut.
He told us what to get. He goes, get the chef's special omelet, best omelet in Orleans.
He's the best fucking thing you'll ever have. And like we're both too intimidated to go against this man's words, so we both get the chef omelet.
We both do it. It's like covered in
little
chili.
Little do we know this guy's special.
Disgusting.
This guy's
it's
like
great,
specialty.
But it's like made us shit our pants the entire drive.
Little do we know this guy's like specialty is like civil RICO charges.
Oh wow!
So this dude is like literally not only like knows all the like grandsons of whoever the fuck the mafia dons were in New Orleans in like the 1940s. He like fights against them. And like can like call him up and be like, "Leave that lady who has the Japanese restaurant alone." Like it's like yeah. It's like so he's telling all these stories and he's just like a fucking awesome guy. And we just had a great like hour and a half in this restaurant.
It was amazing.
Everyone was classic. Do you remember that our waiter had like a fucking like tumor in his eye. Did you remember that shit?
No, not really.
He had a big ass tumor. But anyway, so the omelet was just a delicious. It was the fluffiest omelet ever.
It was
had.
Amazing. The place was amazing.
Chili on top.
So then we leave. Yeah. We leave and we wind up in
Waymar, Texas.
And Waymar, Texas is a town of, I imagine, 50 people. I
it don't was really, 1,500.
1,500. Well, 50 to me. I'm from LA, okay? I don't really.
1,500 is like how many people I went to high school.
Yeah, that's like nothing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we go into Waymar. We somehow get into this like really cheap, nice motel.
It was the nicest hotel we stayed at, and it was $69 a night.
Yeah, it was great. So then we're like, hey, there's a place in this town called The Tavern. Like, let's go there. We have to kind of drive into the city, which is like nothing.
Not like off Main Street.
We go to the building to the tavern. The tavern, there's two women at the bar and an old woman behind it, and they are like shocked we walk in. They can't believe anyone walked in.
The woman's
without,
like a character out of a Coen Brothers film. She's got like a fucking like wrist brace on, and she's just like popping beers for us. And she has no personality.
It's one of those towns where they're like amazed anyone walked in without like open tumors on their face. Like they can't believe we're not like suffering in some horrific
way. And Devin's
way.
A big city movie star, and he walks into this fucking town.
And I walk in, and I go, big movie I go, star. Hollywood's here.
He goes, give me one of everything.
I go, I have one of everything, toots.
Yeah. She gives him a Miller Lite and a Budweiser.
So we start drinking. There, then the town cop.
Okay, before this, real quick, as we're leaving our hotel, we get cut off by an ambulance that's going a million miles an hour, and there's like a fucking police officer following right behind this this ambulance.
So then 20 minutes later, that same cop flies into the bar, walks like, in,
kicks the door open.
And this cop, I shit you not, was like literally like Sam Rockwell's character from like Three Billboards in Missouri. Right. Like he wasn't as racist. He was kind of racist, but he was nice, cool guy. And we're just making jokes with him. I'm like, you were putting the fuck, you were fucking, you know, you were following that ambulance so you could get to Whataburger. And he was like, ha ha ha. He's just laughing and like being kind of cool. And then he gets back in his car, leaves.
Peels out.
Like every time he like left or came in, he like almost like drove.
It was like true romance. He whips out of every single driveway.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time he showed up, he almost drove directly into the building. Like he was out of his mind.
So he'd show up every like 20 minutes.
So we go outside to have a beer and hang out. And this guy flies in, and he almost like hits me, and I get out of the way, and he's like, "I didn't mean to interrupt y'all beers." He like gets lights out of the car,
lights a cigarette, and then like he just starts talking.
He just starts talking to us. We just start asking him questions, and he's like,
"What's it like being a cop?"
All the shit.
He's the only cop on duty tonight.
He's
like, it's
actively
crazy.
Ignoring calls the entire time we're talking.
Yeah, he'll be like, there'll be a thing. There's a man like looking into windows. And he'll be like, "Eh, fucking peeping Tom."
He'll be like, "There's a peeping Tom right there," and he just puts it. doesn't answer it, keeps talking to us. It gets to the point where I kind of like start asking him, like, I'm like, what do you think about the whole like ACAB, like George Floyd thing? He goes like, here's the thing. He goes like, George Floyd died of an overdose. Okay. I saw the video. That is a classic stance that they have every cop do. You put your knee on their neck. He died of an overdose. George Floyd died of an overdose.
To give him a defense.
And I'm like, okay, interesting.
There are bad cops out there that shouldn't be cops. And he said the reason... He was like, the reason I'm a good cop is because I worked in the jails for a long time. I know how to talk to people.
Yeah. He goes, there's a lot of bad cops out there.
To defend that man.
He goes, there's a lot of bad cops out there. Derek Chauvin is not one of them.
All right.
So, yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Fair stance.
Fair. Yeah, very fair.
But So
then he leaves.
What more do you want from a small town police
officer? Honestly,
officer?
He was the most progressive small town cop.
I know.
He told us he like doesn't pull people over for DUIs. He says that like if people have weed, he just tells them to like throw it out.
I love that.
It's kind of cool.
He's
actually.
Like, you can throw it out or get a ticket. And he's like, if you got a DUI, I'm just gonna take you to fucking jail and let you go in the morning. He's like, I'm not filling out that paperwork.
Yeah. So then we start talking.
And then he goes, if you're sober enough to drive, I'll let you go home. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
He was amazing.
I actually love this guy.
He definitely couldn't have made
every
it.
Every cop
in LA.
Should be this man.
Hates Derek Chauvin, lets DUI people go, lets weed charges go. He's great.
So then the only other guy there this night, literally.
Wait, hold on. You missed a very critical point.
This?
Devin asked this cop to be on his podcast.
Oh, yeah, and he denied me. He like big time me. He was like, no, not at all.
I have a podcast in Los Angeles.
I was like, can we call you? Like, I want to hear you like say all this crazy shit like on my podcast. And he was like, no. He acted like he was a big shot, like John. Was like, I might get a job at TH Diddley's. Like, I can't. Who knows what they're going to catch me saying, you know? I'm trying to get a job at Bombshells in Houston.
Who's the old guy?
So then we start talking to this old guy at the bar, the only person there. Oh, this guy's like a Clint Eastwood character, right? He might as well be sitting there just looking at us like, you better cry, macho. So we talked to him. He's one of these guys where everyone in his life has abandoned him, but he's not
he's
the problem.
He's obviously a bad man.
Like, obviously a bad guy.
He pieces his life story together, and I'm like, where are your four kids? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, so you're a bad dude.
He's like, I don't know where they are. And then he starts talking.
Wait, hold on. Background. So I do know that, like, a lot of the oldest European language dialects, a few of them are in America. So, like, the oldest dialect of French is in Missouri, because mm-hmm. when you have colonies, they kind of stay isolated, right?
Right.
So there is a thing called Texan German. There are a lot of Germans that live in Texas that speak a very, very old. It's like I think there's only like 300 people left that speak it, but there's like a lot. There are a lot of German communities in Texas that used to speak a very distinct dialect of German. And I noticed that this town's called Weimar, Texas. And if you know anything about Germany, like the Weimar Republic, I was like, oh, so I asked this guy, I was like, is this a Texan German town? Do people speak German here? And he goes, yeah, actually, I one time saw this woman yelling at this and he's like saying
the N-word casually, very casually.
And she's saying the German word for N. And we're like,
and then he goes, the best part is he goes like, he says the N-word like twice. And then he goes like, you know, them black fellas.
Them black fellas. Yeah, and then he goes, I don't remember. He's like, I don't remember what the German word was.
So then we look it up. The German word for the N-word is the N-word.
It's just the N-word. But this guy just wanted to say the N-word. But like, it was, we were just like, Jesus. Oh, okay, cool. And then we go back and we fucking, our TV didn't work.
Our TV didn't work. We just watched like shitty true crime shit.
I got some taquitos. That shit rocks.
Wake up. We go to, what's the next town after Weimar?
We wind up in
Deming, New Mexico.
Deming, New Mexico.
Which and sucks.
But we stayed at a Motel 6.
There's like hardcore porn. They have like, straight there's up like 13 channels. One, like you literally go from ESPN to like ass eating. It was, yeah, it was crazy. Kind of amazing.
We just passed the fuck out. Devin's terrified of bed bugs. And
that town was kind of meaningless. But the next day, I have a cousin who lives in Patagonia, Arizona, which is like a town.
I've never heard of this
place. Town of like 900 people. I haven't seen my cousin in like 10 years, but I'm like, this is a great opportunity to see her. Maybe we can fucking stay somewhere for free. She goes, yeah, I'm actually like house sitting a place. Like, mm-hmm. it's fine. Yeah, you guys can stay. Let's do it. So we pull into this town at like 1 p.m. They happen to be having like a fall festival thing.
Yeah, it was like,
and it's like a town of nothing. Like, nobody really does anything.
Everybody
town,
from Tucson was coming down there to sell their wares.
And from Minnesota and Milwaukee. I don't know.
To the Minnesota people, they had a house in Arizona.
Okay, so whatever. Right. But it's a lot of people. It's like a farmer's market in the middle of the town. It's the most people the town
Devin
gets
and I immediately
all year.
Start getting just trapped.
We just immediately start getting hammered at the local saloon.
Yeah.
And
the people behind the bar are like begging for us to buy them food.
Yeah, like people.
Can you get us barbecue?
People, I don't know. It's just a small town.
They wouldn't give them food at the restaurant they worked at. It was real fucked up.
But it was one of these towns where like all the
employees are trying to get you to buy.
They're asking us to buy them food.
They're asking us to get barbecue.
We were like, go get us some barbecue. We were like, yeah, sure, I will.
Sure, toots.
Use your paycheck.
Right.
Yeah.
So we wander around this fair, hammered. We go to like multiple saloons in town. We wander around this fair. It's like, whatever. It's like a fucking, you know, like people selling crystals shit.
Oh, well, the ones.
But here's the thing. John has a thing for the elderly. He really wants to bang elderly women.
Any woman between the age of 40 and like 57 is my fucking, that's like me.
So that's middle age.
So real quick, we're wandering.
Elderly. I like women that look like they're in a photo of like the Great Depression.
Yeah.
They got hard looks, but they got great bones.
They got that crinkle in their cleavage.
Yeah, but they got great bone structure, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. John likes women that their last photo taken was like with that thing where it like light, like it blows up, like the glass like breaks and shit.
Like, it's like they gotta rescrew the light
they
bulb.
They have to rescrew the light bulb in and all that. So we're wandering through. John is wearing a shirt. It looks like a Pepsi sign, but it says LSD in the middle of it.
Fucking
it's a cool shirt. So we're wandering through, and this like cool like hippie guy's just like, love that shirt. And like comes up to me, he's like, you ever want some? Like, hit me up. And we're like,
I don't have money, dog.
We're like, we're leaving tomorrow. We don't have any money, whatever. And he's like, oh, well, whatever. And he pulls his wallet out. He opens a dollar bill. There's a little acid tab in it.
He just gives
John a gel tab of acid, like in public. So we're like, oh shit, should we like do, like, is it a sign? Like, should we like do this sign? We're like, no. So then we wander by this crystal salesman, not crystal meth, like a crystal, you know, lady that loves crystals.
Not a crystal salesman. She plasma cut steel and made like art with it.
Right. So a crystal salesman. Yeah. And so then we, so John's like talking her up. She's like 60.
I was real fucking slick.
And he's talking her up. She tells him
so
like,
this is what happened. This is what happened. I walk into the tent and I'm like, how you doing? And she basically tells me, she basically is like, my name's Emily. And I'm like, I'm John. And then she's like, I'll probably be at this bar, this saloon later. And I was like, oh, cool. Maybe I'll. And then she's like, if not, my camper's like two parking lots down. And I was like, sick. And then she's like, and I was like, maybe I'll see you there. And then I say goodbye.
Yes.
So I'm obsessed.
She's throwing it at you.
She's throwing it at me, but I'm obsessed with Emily at this point. I just, I need Emily.
So
I need to be.
We're like, all right, I guess maybe that'll happen. We go back to the saloon. We proceed to get more and more fucked up. Yeah. Then my cousin comes back, local town members are there, her roommates, we're all getting hammered. Finally, like 6 o'clock rolls around. Oh, by the way, I'm like arguing with like some old guy about like how Led Zeppelin's
Devin
like
starts
like
arguing about Led Zeppelin.
And like the guy like, won't, he's like, nah, I'm like, they're thieves. Like they stole. Like they make great music, but they're thieves. And the guy won't listen to me and I'm whatever. So then 6 o'clock hits and John's like, oh shit, like Emily's in her fucking trailer. He just John just like leaves the bar and wanders off into the darkness in the middle of these tents, and I'm like, fuck, okay.
So I go to this gypsy cab and there's like people making tacos and shit, and there's all these like fucking campers, and I'm like I'm like asking people like, where's Emily at? I'm like, where's Emily?
John's just like yelling, like, her name. She's just like, Emily.
I'm like I need a cry macho. I'm like I need to find Emily, and I'm like looking for Emily, and I eventually am walking past this camper. By the way, this woman says she's staying in a van, right? She's got like a $30,000-$40,000 camper she's staying in. I'm like, oh god, she's a fucking faker. So I go,
she's a prissy bitch.
So I go, Emily, and she goes, oh John, come on in. I come in, her dog's there. She had a sweet dog. And then I'm like, here's the push. I'm a horny presenting man, but here's when push comes to shove. I can't fucking do anything. She's like, so what's up? And I'm like, I got this gel tab of acid. And I wanted to give it to you because I don't believe in serendipity. I believe in fate. And like,
oh,
it was just,
John.
Yeah, it was just horrible. But I gave her the gel tab of acid and she was like, I got this like eighth of shrooms you could have. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, my husband gave it to me. I was like, all right, I get the hint. So yeah. She gives me the fucking shrooms.
So John, I see John walk out of the wilderness back to the saloon, and we're sitting out front of the patio. We're talking to all these locals. They're kind of like, they were like nice, but a lot of them, I had this vibe where I was like, they just don't like people not from there being there. Like they were just kind of assholes, you know, in a way.
It's all they had.
John's like, I got these fucking, these mushrooms and shit. And
I
we're like, should we fucking
table,
do
like
them?
A big shot.
So me and John and my cousin, we like start doing the mushrooms while drinking. We start.
Devin just starts munching on shrooms.
I just start
crazy.
Eating them like they're fucking M&Ms.
Devin's like, we should. Devin's like, do two, and we did two, and then Devin's like, do three, and I'm like, just fucking chill, dude.
Because he knows.
I wanted. To, I was like,
two
I was
is
like,
nothing.
Two does nothing. So I always ate like two more than they did. So we eat them. It starts hitting. It's like, great. I'm having a fucking
blast.
This
is what happens. So we start, I start, you know, shrooms, it's like a marijuana high, but then you get that emotional, you get that like mental effect.
And
too.
The visual shit too. Yeah.
I didn't really get any visual shit that much that night. It was just, everything looked amazing. I didn't get like geometrics or anything.
Me
so,
neither.
Like,
I didn't get that, but so, things so, moved
but
a little
I,
bit.
That emotional thing is there. And Devin's continuing to argue with this Led Zeppelin guy. And I'm talking to Devin as if we weren't on shrooms. So Devin's talking, Devin's cousin's there. And I keep looking at Devin, and Devin keeps screaming about Led Zeppelin. And I keep screaming back at Devin, I hope you have a stroke so the Italian part of your brain dies so you could just sit the fuck down and enjoy yourself. Because he won't stop talking about fucking scream about Led Zeppelin. But I see in Devin, as I'm wishing a stroke upon him, he's taking it more seriously and seriously because the shrooms are coming.
Yeah,
on.
I start looking at John and I go like, you're the devil.
Yeah, he looks at me, he sits down, he looks really sad, and he goes, you're a demon. And he goes, you have horns on your head right now. And I was like, Devin, I'm so sorry. Like,
so then I actually don't remember the end of the night, but apparently we got kicked out. Also, everyone was all afraid. We had a big bag of mushrooms and we're just yelling about doing mushrooms.
Yeah, everybody in the town, by the way, what a fucking
we didn't take the town seriously. It's like a 900 person town. We're like, we're from LA. Like,
this hippie, air quotes, fucking hippie town is like, put the shrooms away. Where the fuck you? I'm gonna eat the shrooms. I'm gonna put them on the table, and anybody can have them. I was offering shrooms to people in the fucking bar, and then I go inside to try to close my tab, and the bartender's like, you're fucking 86. I've never been 86 in my fucking life. And I'm like, well, I'm coherent. I'm like, not that fucked up. I got the shrooms coming on. But I was like, all right, whatever. Close
the tab. Shrooms can focus you, too. You know where you're at. You know what you're doing.
The shrooms.
You feel connections with people. Yeah. You're like, no, I want to pay for my tab. Yeah, I don't want to pay for my tab, you.
Shit bag. Yeah, the shrooms ended. Like, I was still drunk, but the shrooms, like, focused me up, cut through everything. Yeah, I felt great. So I don't know what happened, but we left, and we go back to my cousin.
Magical time. There was some horse manure on the ground, and there were these lights playing with the horse manure. And it was just beautiful. And we'd look at the sky and you'd see the Milky Way because we're in the middle of Arizona and there's no light pollution. And it was just fucking magnificent. I remember hugging Devin and looking at the Milky Way. And it was just like, it was so magical.
It was amazing. So then we go back to the place that my cousin has is house sitting at.
Milked each other.
It's a beautiful place.
We milked each other on the hood
everything
of my
ends
Ford Fusion.
Every
we all milked each
milk
other. And that is the end.
I blew him from behind.
And that's the end. So John's sucking my ass. I'm jacking off onto Emily's face. And
my cousin. My first cousin. Blood relation.
Blood relation. It's whatever. We don't see each other often. It's not that big a deal. So we go back to the house that we're staying at.
Which, by the way, is kind of a... First of all, you walk into this house, and they have, like, an original Eames chaise lounge chair. It's like a fucking expensive piece of furniture.
Yeah.
So I just want to sit in it all night because it's fucking beautiful and it's perfectly ergonomic. But anyways, we're like high on shrooms and we keep talking about Tugget.
Yeah. we're on shrooms and we keep doing the tug my pecker joke.
And we're laughing.
We're like telling everybody about
it. We're laughing till we're crying. Right,
they're like, sure. What?
We're laughing till we're fucking crying.
We're crying of laughter.
Tugget.
I can tell real quick by the way you presented it to start out with. We were like, I don't know if people will get it on the podcast. You're like, this bombed the whole road trip.
It was the funniest thing.
It did. To us, it was like literally like genius. It was like a genius level joke. But to everyone else, the whole road trip, they looked at us like, you better get out.
You guys are safe.
You got to get out of this town. They like pointed a gun at us and they're like, leave.
We just had
so
a
we go back.
Phenomenal night.
We had the greatest night of our lives. We kind of keep doing mushrooms. And then I'm talking to my cousin about my grandparents, who we both, like, you know, had, like, relationships with growing up. My grandfather's, like, a hero of mine. I love him. I think about him every day. He got emphysema when he was, like, 7. He was on an oxygen tank until he was, like, you know, fucking 84 years old. My grandma was, like, a bit nuts, but I love her, too. But she was always, like you know, the crazy one, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I go on to talk. I'm talking to my cousin, and I find out this like huge, like kind of family secret. Where like my cousin tells me like that my grandfather kind of had like an agreement with my grandma, where like he like just saw other women.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Like
pretty
I'm like
progressive
because I never knew about this. So I'm kind of losing my mind, and I'm on mushrooms, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm freaking out. I'm watching this familial trauma play out.
So then I get up.
It's like a Tennessee
theater.
Williams play.
So, yeah. Exactly.
John, explain. So I get up. I go to the kitchen because there's a big bottle of Crown Royal. And I'm like, I need a fucking drink. So Devin, I try opening the Crown Royal. I can't get it open.
And Devin just goes, my grandfather's a whore and I'm a faggot because I can't open this Crown Royal. And then he fucking.
I go into a dark room and I sit in this rocking chair.
Like
and I'm just sitting in a dark room just
like
Jesus.
Like Nosferatu. He just fucking voomf and just goes into the darkness and sits in a rocking chair. And I took a photo of him and it's the photo. I gotta show you the fucking photo.
The photo's crazy, but
maybe we'll post it on Patreon.
Yeah, maybe the Patreon will get the photo.
Maybe.
So
red phone.
So then the rest of the night. So then we go out back in this backyard where the view and there's trees and
this is Devin realizing his grandfather's a whore. He's on mushrooms. Oh, by the way, I'm so like
Devin, I was mostly depressed about that, not because I was like, oh, my grandfather's different in my mind. It was mostly like, oh, this explains my grandma's behavior.
But your face is all
Devin,
sunburned.
Devin is
your
in the
face
backyard.
All burnt, like the context, and you just be like,
Devin and his cousin are talking about like familial stuff, and I'm just like, this isn't. I'm on mushrooms. I'm like, I can't be a part of this. This is not my zone. You know what I mean?
It's none of my business.
Not my business. So like, they were hungry. So his cousin kept talking about dumplings. I was like, I'll make you guys dumplings. You just fucking hang out back.
So I'm making dumplings high on mushrooms. I thought John, like, by the way, I thought John was making like great like southern dumplings. I go on to find out it's just Trader Joe's goitza.
This is what this fucker, that's your
all
fault.
All night I've been
that's
looking.
That's your fault.
I've been looking forward
that's
to it. I go, what is this
fault?
Bullshit?
This
you
guy,
microwaved
no, this
it?
This guy had an idea in his head and he disappointed himself and that's his fault. But for some reason it's my fault because I was working with the tools that were given to me. But anyway, so I'm making dumplings that you ate. Anyway, so I give him these. So I'm cooking these dumplings, and like I keep going in and out of the freezer, and I'm on mushrooms. And this house is like owned by an artist. And I open the freezer, and there's just a bowl of frozen butterflies in the freezer. Ew. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And I keep having to go back into the freezer. I wasn't like scared or anything, but I was just like, why is there like, there was a cockroach in there, a frozen cockroach and frozen butterflies. And I just kept picturing like, should I cook these? Like, it was the fucking craziest thing. And then they make the dumplings, and then they eat the dumplings. And by then, the mushrooms kind of slid down. So we all went outside, and we had more mushrooms. And
we ate some more. Had a great time.
All desert people think they're, like, incredible for finding bugs.
Yeah, that's their thing.
You know, that's their art.
They're like, I took the wings from a cicada, and I put it in honey, and I attached it, glued it to my piece.
Right.
And we're like, wow.
There's a picture of Henry Kissinger.
No, but the house was really cool. So then all in all, John tried to fuck my cousin, and then we went to bed.
How'd that go?
Okay, he's...
He made a good call. He didn't. They both made good calls. It was a joke. I'm fucking around a little bit, but I was on mushrooms. I was egging it on. I was like, fuck my cousin, dude.
Well, that is what killed it. Well, you cock blocked it right there.
I didn't try. First of all, I didn't try.
We were all being too human. It like couldn't have happened. Yeah. You're on mushrooms. You're just like, I can't.
Either you probably would fuck like immediately, or you don't want to do it at all.
But it was really funny. I FaceTimed my friend Brian, and me and my friend Brian were like
on the couch, and it was,
wait, what?
I kissed Devin's cousin on the cat. It was
nice. Oh, that's sweet.
It was
actually even nicer.
No, it was a great night.
A mushroom kiss.
It was an amazing night. It was one of the best, honestly, one of the better nights of my life. It was a fucking fantastic time.
Honestly, meeting a girl on mushrooms and just having like a peck or a French kiss, and then that's it.
It was very pleasant. It's kind of beautiful. I wasn't ready. You know, I was like,
dad and mushroom. It's intense.
Yeah. So we went to bed in my room. By the way, this place is an old boarding house. Mm-hmm. So like, my room was literally like a cot in like what looked like an open porch, and it was freezing all fucking night.
Oof.
And it, we woke up the next day just cold, and it was probably the worst sleep I had on the trip. But then the next day we woke up and we got some breakfast in Tucson, and then we drove home.
Went home. And that was that.
It was the best fucking time we've had.
Incredible trip.
That's phenomenal.
Incredible trip. And now John is here to stay.
Now I'm here now. I'm gonna put the amount of focus I put into women into myself.
Beautiful.
Which is what I deserve.
John goes when he was
king.
When John was trying to fuck Emily, the old lady, he goes, I like dusty pussy, dude.
I kept you know, every once in a while I'll come across just like a beautiful older woman. And I'm just like, I need to dust that off.
Yeah.
Something about an older woman, they kind of, I don't know if they remind you of Marissa Tomei a little bit or something.
Yeah,
like
I kept like picturing like,
they were like a wife beater.
I kept picturing us like
big
just
titties.
Sweaty and our bodies slapping together while we're standing.
Yeah.
And like I'm against a wall or she's against a wall. And I'm like, I'm just like making out. And
I need to be milked.
I need to be milked.
Yeah.
It was a great, good.
You
great.
Want a mommy.
I'm really, I need a mommy. I need a mommy.
Mommy.
You know.
You want someone to pack a lunch for you every day.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done mommy stuff?
Mommy stuff? No.
Ever do mommy stuff?
Not. No.
I've done mommy stuff
so.
With like three different women.
No, I mean, I fucked
like where you say like mommy.
Yeah. So this woman I was seeing in Atlanta, her name was Brandy, and she was from South Carolina. She was an ex-coke mule. And she had a knife wound in her leg where she got stabbed in the leg for muling coke or whatever the fuck. She would like, we would have sex, and she would like, while we were having sex, she'd be like, you're so much better than your father.
Wow.
And she'd like, call me mommy. And it was, shit rocked. I mean,
middle,
I like egged
that's
it
kinda
on.
Hot.
It was really fucking hot.
I just think when you hear something like that, you go like, yeah, fuck yeah. I don't
want
to.
It's what I want. It's what I want. Right. You know, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's great for this moment. Don't ever talk to me ever again.
We did also, we had a lot of, I mean, I had never had a mommy thing. I mean, I fucked.
Yeah, I've never actually done that.
You fucked your mom?
I fucked my mom, but I've never had a mommy thing.
You just,
I got that out of my system by fucking my mom.
We kept having great, like, cry macho jokes because I have no idea what. I watched Cry Macho for,
it's
like,
terrible.
10 minutes. It's a horrible movie.
Yeah,
but my imagination of the movie is just Clint Eastwood just looking at Mexicans, just being like, you better cry macho.
And they're like, what? Hey, season,
we
what?
What happened was, he's we like, woke up, cried, we woke up in, macho. We woke up in Texas, and I looked at Devin, and I said, we got to get out of Texas.
We got to get out of
like,
Texas.
And then I was like, God, half of the reason I said that is because it sounded cool.
Yeah, we got to cry.
And then I realized, I was like, we got to cry macho.
We got to cry macho.
I love the movies where Clint Eastwood's 92 years old, and he's the only man for the job.
Yep.
It's like
we've just been like
yeah.
Everyone.
He looks like the last 5 years of movies. Like fucking Mr. Burns, and he's like fucking moving coke.
There's a scene in that in Cry Macho where like there's like a 40-year-old like hot cartel leader that like wants to fuck him, and he like won't, and she's like all pissed at him.
Yeah, he's like
no, he does fuck her. I think
does he eventually?
Yeah.
I saw the scene where he just like walks out.
How does Clint Eastwood? He's like 90.
He's 92 years old, and he's like just
fucking hip out.
Oh, he'll throw more. He throws his dick out. he uses Bengay as lube.
Anything else happen? Any funny stories?
I mean, that was kind of it. We really went pretty detailed.
Yeah, that was the road trip.
Yeah, that was
a great
it.
Road trip.
What's going on with you, Richie? How'd it go while we were gone?
Well, you guys were gone. Joey and I met up with Johnny, who was on a podcast on the boat. The boat
yacht
pod.
Club.
We went and watched the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight at a movie theater.
That must have rocked.
And just got hammered and blackout drunk. I wish I could recount the stories, but we got blackout drunk. There's no story.
You just don't even remember most of the night. You just went
to an
AMC.
We went to an AMC. We watched the fight. We went back to Johnny's, kept drinking, hung out.
I want to see Johnny again. He's
There's
a great
nothing,
guy.
Johnny's
I'm,
amazing.
I'm trying to like, think of like, some amazing thing that happened, but it would just be like recanting conversations and drinking.
Johnny's the only guy I've met once, and I'll like text him, and he'll just like give me genuine advice.
Yeah, he loves giving
guy.
Some advice.
He's a great guy.
He's an amazing person. One of my favorites.
Oh, Joey. Oh, actually, there was a couple things. Joey called Brock on the phone. Brock's a big fat boy now. He'll hate hearing this.
Brock got fat?
Brock got fat?
Well, maybe not. I can't tell. But
this is the same Brock who got like a lamp thrown at
him. We kept calling Broccoli fat. And he really didn't like that. He probably wants to kill me, I think.
Did he
listen to the podcast?
I was drunk, and I kept saying, like, is that fat boy Broccoli? And then I couldn't hear his responses, but Joey kept looking at me like, I think he wants to kill you.
Yeah, no, they'll fuck you up.
So Brock might come here and kill me, and he can.
Watch him show up, and he's like 3 feet tall. Yeah, he's one of Joey's wrestling buddies.
But he'll still
shit.
Beat the
you
shit.
You don't want to fuck with people from South Dakota. They're all characters from like Out of the Furnace.
I know, exactly.
He's like covering his shirt with his shirt. He's talking about picking up baby parts in Afghanistan.
And then Johnny, I love you, but I feel like I have to say this. So there was this carnival outside of the mall where we saw where the AMC was, the South Bay Galleria. There was this carnival going on, and Kelsey, my girlfriend, really wanted to go on the ride, so she buys the tickets. We wait in line. We get on the ride, and Johnny didn't fit on the ride.
Oh, boy.
Shut the fuck up.
Really?
They were, like, pushing.
Johnny's not a fat dude.
He's just big. He's tall.
He's a little bigger.
He's
tall,
like,
too.
He's tall? He's 6'6"?
He's big.
Shut like, the
he's
fuck up.
Johnny's
like,
a tall dude.
He looks like a ex-football player.
I had no idea. I thought he was
And it was like the ride, and all these high school kids are there. It's just us and high school kids.
Oh, no.
And they're just like shoving
this dude won't fit in the fucking ride.
And together,
this
right? And they're like, sir, they're like,
all the high school kids are Mexican.
Yeah, no, that's who goes to carnivals?
No, and we're,
who goes to carnivals?
It was South Bay. They were all Mexican.
They were all Mexican, yeah.
Except for like one white girl sitting next to Johnny, and she was disgusting looking. She was like.
They made someone sit next to him.
If she was hot, I'd be like, yeah, she was a high school kid. I didn't notice. But she was ugly. So she's an ugly high school kid. Mm. It's weird that if you say they're ugly, you're like, you're good. You're not gross. But if you say they're hot, you're like disgusting old person.
Yeah. This is like when Kevin Smith couldn't fit on the Southwest flight. And it was like national news.
Oh, that sucks, man.
So
he couldn't go on it?
They kept pressing honestly, Joey made a good point that it's like he didn't even try. There was this like light that had to go on, a button like you click it,
yeah,
and if the light didn't go on, you can't, the ride won't start, and he just kept shoving it and the ride wouldn't start.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
One time I was at Disneyland with my mom.
Maybe
I should. I was at my
fattest.
Be
funnier.
you just shit all
I
over our
you.
Dear friend.
I love Johnny so much.
Johnny's just not like a heavy looking guy. He just,
no, that's what's annoying. Is it made
yeah.
me all it made
Johnny,
me.
Johnny's a very handsome man for his
no,
age.
No, honestly, all it made me think I was like, so what? Rob Gronkowski can't get on this ride?
Yeah, probably not.
You know what I mean? Like, so what? Big awesome people can't ride your ride.
Well, they're meant for like carnies and shit. High school. Like, those rides are built in like 1982.
Yeah.
Like,
did you guys see the footage of the, it was in Michigan, of that, of that ride almost toppling over and all the people had to run over and like hold it up?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you don't really want to ride those like fake carnival rides.
It was fun, though.
They're all being
You're going
run
to Michigan, right?
They're all being
run. Yeah, no, tomorrow, yeah.
Jesus.
What flight you got?
Late flight.
Southwest?
Going out late.
What
flight.
What company?
Rocket plane. A rocket man. Late night.
Late flight.
I don't know. Southwest, yeah. So we'll see if it's
going to be. Where are you landing?
Not.
Grand Rapids?
Chicago. Midwest.
Oh, no, your flight's like literally not going to take
probably
off.
Probably not, yeah.
They told
O'Hare is the worst fucking airport on planet Earth. I swear to God.
Except
it's like, I've never landed at O'Hare.
Did you see the lights?
No.
Yeah, so when you get off your gate and you walk through to baggage claim, there's like this it's a famous like light show.
Maybe I didn't notice it. Every time I landed O'Hare, you have to take like a bus to the fucking terminal from the plane. You ever have to do that?
No.
It's the worst. It's one of those standing buses.
There's
no seats. You just stand.
Dulles in Virginia does that too.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I hate the fucking
And hate the fucking Midwest.
I know, me too. I have a big love-hate relationship with
but
it.
But New Orleans, that's the place to be.
It's the place to be.
Yeah.
We're all going to get a house there.
That's interesting. I didn't know you had Southwest. You're not leaving tomorrow.
I hope not.
They just canceled my girlfriend's mom's flight.
Devin has big vendettas against
them. They've been canceling everyone's flight.
They canceled over 1,000 flights.
You know, they're going to purposely have you show up to the airport. You're going to go through TSA. You're going to get in line to board, and then they're going to cancel it, and then they're going to claim weather so they don't have to give you a refund or a voucher, because that's what JetBlue did to us. If they claim weather...
Oh, you didn't get your refund?
No, you can't. If they claim weather, you can't.
They
don't give you a voucher either. They just leave you stranded.
Someone should 3D print something and then take it into the airport.
Somebody should 3D print something that like shoots an object at a person or things.
And
maybe it does damage. And all you got to do is go 3D print that. And we won't tell you what, but you kind of get the hint. And then maybe you take that down to the airport.
Corporate offices
in
JetBlue.
They won't take the vaccine shot. Give them another shot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Shot to the dome piece.
It is interesting. I didn't know Southwest was full of so many people anti-vaxxers.
Really?
That's why this is happening.
The employees?
That's why this is happening. They're all doing an anti-vax stance.
Nice.
So they're refusing to work.
That's cool.
But they're also a Texas company, so I get it.
Even if I got vaxxed, I'd be like, yeah, I didn't get vaxxed. Anything to refuse to work if I can still get paid.
Yeah, I would say I'm not vaxxed.
Some lawsuit,
too.
I would immediately get involved in that.
Well, the governor of Texas just said he made an executive order that says like you can't mandate vaccines, but I don't know how that goes against the federal law.
It's like weed. They're treating it like weed in L.A.
Yeah, it is.
But they're doing it for vax.
For vaccines.
Wow.
Yo, dude, like...
I love, dude,
smell this vax.
They're finally taking a stance on something, and it's for vaccines.
It's hilarious that they're also, like, they banned abortion. They're like so women are like, my choice, my body. They're like, no. And then when it comes to the vaccine, they're like, my choice, my body. Yeah. But
it's a bit hypocritical, Texas.
Bit hypocritical. Yeah, you'll be back tomorrow. I'll be taking care of your dog for about 6 hours, and then you'll be driving right back.
I can't wait to come back. I don't want to go.
What do you guys got to do?
Well, I know this is a comedy podcast, but bury my grandmother.
Oh, fuck.
But no,
I had no idea. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry. What'd she do to you guys to deserve that?
She died during COVID. She got cremated because of like you couldn't transport bodies and shit. But she has a plot in the south side of Chicago where she grew up. And
where in south side? What's the neighborhood?
I don't know exactly because I'm not that familiar with south side.
So you guys were going to bury her in the south side of Chicago?
She has, there's a, yeah, near like University of Chicago.
So you guys are all planning to get shot and so? Are you guys all planning to bury yourselves too?
All the murders in Chicago take place in like a 6-city block radius. It's
fucking
insane. And like there when I was in Chicago, I spent like an October in Chicago and I had a friend, Sean, who is like one of the he lived in like 2 blocks, which is like the last holdout of like white Irish people in the south side of Chicago. And it was like the only like white people from like an
urban hood
I've ever met.
Where the cast of Shameless lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And
oh, really?
Like literally.
Yeah, that's what it's based on. Yeah.
All we did was fucking drink beer and smoke weed on baseball diamonds with his buddies.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me, yeah, the cops have a fucking warehouse where they take people and torture them
yeah.
and break their legs. And this is like, and then 2 years later, the fucking news came out. They were like fucking torturing people in a fucking warehouse.
No, it's the Midwest is horrible for that shit.
Chicago, Cleveland, sucks.
Chicago, all those Midwestern cities. They're all known for like they have some spot where they like torture people.
Right, like in that movie Prisoners.
Yeah,
fucking
and Paul Dano.
Where the whole movie was made because some producer just like hates Paul Dano and he just wanted to see him tortured.
What if Hugh Jackman went up to the shower and he was like, "Tug me."
He goes up to the he goes, "Paul, I'll let you go if you tug me."
Well, you want me to stop turning on the hot water? Tug me,
tug me. we gotta make a movie like, oh, we gotta talk about this bit. We had a whole bit of the whole bit of the road trip. We had a whole bit about trans Anton Chigurh.
So it sounds too much like a Cumtown bit. So I'm gonna.
Sounds funny to me.
So though. I was like, okay.
You don't need to preface it with that bullshit.
I hate it though. I hate it because of this.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah.
Okay, so it was,
but we had it on our
Anton
own.
Chigurh, he's a Terminator.
Also, he always calls him Anton Chigurh, like he's a black Anton like Chigurh. Parking attendant lady. He's like, honey, I'm Anton Chigurh, and I will give you a ticket if you parked in the red.
What is it? Is it Chigurh?
Chigurh. Anton Chigurh.
Anton Chigurh. So Anton Chigurh, one day he's like being a hitman, and then like a Manchurian Candidate thing snaps in his brain, and he just becomes an autistic trans person obsessed with the gas station chain
Buc-ee's, which is the shirt I'm wearing. Buc-ee's the Beaver, and he's always telling his victims about. He goes, "Do you like Buc-ee's?"
He goes
Buc-ee the Beaver.
He goes, "You go to Buc-ee's. It was open in 1928, and they have the best honey pecans. You go buy the honey pecans."
So then he's trans, right? So he has like pink hair. He blows up a car outside of a pharmacy so he could go in and get hormones. And he's wandering outside of and then he goes, he's in a bathtub at a shitty motel. And he's chopping his dick off in the tub.
I need to get rid of my penis.
He goes, down with the patriarchy.
Like, I need to go to Buc-ee's and get the Reese's peanut.
He goes, I hate the Dave Chappelle. I don't watch Netflix because of Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is a transphobe. I will kill Dave Chappelle.
He gets really militant.
He goes,
I plan to rush into Netflix on Monday with a silence
shotgun. Just picture Anton Chigurh with the same hair, but it's like pink. He's got a septum.
Anton Chigurh is hiding like when he hides behind the door, but it's the executive board meeting of Netflix.
Yeah, he's hiding right there.
He shoots that guy in the office like, "You know why they didn't use I used bird shots. I didn't want to break the window behind you. My pronouns are sir."
Trans Chigurh.
Trans Chigurh.
All right, should we wrap this up? We did a good.
This is before, an hour
right,
15.
Right to end this, I just want to point out. So if you saw Chloe, I don't know if she's actually on the video or not, but there's a dog right here.
He's a beautiful animal.
Don't lift up her neck. Jesus.
No, I'm sorry. You're leaving me with her for a week. Devin's, I mean, she's going to wind up like little Cosette, okay? I will sit on her in a heroin trance.
Devin's going to start doing heroin just to watch my dog. And
you guys brush her teeth.
Don't.
Look at a little smelly mouth.
It's a known thing with her breed.
Okay. You know, all right.
But it's hard to brush her teeth. She won't open her mouth. All right, we try. But my point is...
Well, I'm sure you've tried to open her mouth for a number of reasons.
Well, because of peanut butter on my cock, huh?
Yep.
Is that what you're getting at?
That's the joke.
Peanut butter on my cock.
That's the joke.
What if some guy put peanut butter on Scott and the dog just starts sucking his dick?
Like person. Actual like blowjobs?
It like grabs it with its paws and it's like working the shaft.
Yeah, the dog's like really sucking
the dog's
his
like
cock.
Bark.
It like knows how to do it. It's like, I've been here before.
It's like swallowing his cum.
Dog's like barking, fuck my face.
Some guy's like, whoa!
All I was going to say is that Chloe, the dog, has been a complete psycho all day and somehow screaming about killing dogs. And
she loves it.
She's been like, this calms me.
I used to have buddies in Atlanta. My buddy my buddy bought a cat, and I kept just going up to him going, one day it'll be mine. And he was just like, stop saying that, dude. But so, the last dog I threw into the freezer was named Flavor Flav, and it was like a 15-pound shih tzu.
Jesus. This somehow calms Chloe. It's like
she loves hearing about others dying.
Yeah, she was like, okay.
I'm just happy to see a live one.
When you guys walked in, she's like barking and shaking and freaking out because new people
are
here.
I just had a pet her a little.
And then we start talking about dead dogs, and it just lulls her to sleep.
Yep.
She's a good one.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, John, let's throw her in the crematorium.
Yeah, chuck her in.
All right.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, subscribe to the podcast, folks. A lot of good stuff on there. We're a little late. I'm going to do that one tomorrow.
Leave a review.
Please leave a review, for fuck's sake. I mean, we're at 88. We want to get up to 100. If there's more than 100 people listening to this, just go leave a fucking review on iTunes. It's not that hard. Go say something, anything.
More people have messaged Devin, me, and Joey on Instagram.
Personally, we get more personal messages than we have reviews.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, Chloe. Anyway, we're going to smother you after this.